beautiful. I've forgotten how to do all this morning, so you're going to have to just work with me. The sermon title changed because well, it did. But you recall that last week Jesus faced his temptations in the wilderness, and this is the recounting of that and remembering that. Richard and I looked up the word that he immediately was cast out into the wilderness. Jesus was immediately euthyos. Richard, did I get it right? we tried euthyos. Now you know another Hebrew word. How many of you are going to remember that? Not me either. I have it written down. But he is cast out into the wilderness. Here is God. This is my beloved Son, and on whom I am well pleased. That would seem to be enough, wouldn't it? But Jesus immediately is cast out and faces his temptations. The bulletin cover reflects that. Did you look at the cover of your bulletins there? I have it cited there. A choice, Lauren Wright Pittman. I can't find much other information, but there are the choices, the one, the riches, the crown, the gold, and the other is a crown of thorns, but it is faithfulness. And that might be worth noting to remind us that faithfulness does not always mean ease and comfort and prosperity. So which would we choose? How are we about that? And Christ choosing the crown of thorns, and Jesus facing his temptations. I don't know, we didn't read how they were all lifted, but there he is tempted with food. Make these rocks, turn them into bread. Ha, no, God will feed me. Power, control, fame, immortality. Immortality, a temptation. And then Paul's scripture for this morning, Sandy did a good job reading that. The temptations that something may be legal doesn't mean it's right. There are things we are about. Now, Paul was speaking specifically about how some of the Jews and the Gentiles are in conflict here a little bit, is about the Gentile mission is going on. And some of the Gentiles, as they are at meal with the Jews, are eating non-kosher foods because they say, well, it's legal for us to do it. But if we are offending others, we have to name that. And we have to say, is this considerate of my brother or sister? How shall we be? How would Christ guide us to be in the midst of this? About this time of year, I always try and lift up that we need to take stock of ourselves and find out what our temptations are. I had an interesting conversation with my dad years ago. He grew up during the Depression. He grew up when they had nothing, and he kept everything. We were cleaning out the garage one day, I recall, and we had bought this house, and there was stuff left there, and we're going through, and he finds this something, and he takes it off the shelf there, and hands it to me. He says, what is that? And I said, I have no idea. He looked at it, and he says, well, it's a good one, though, and he put it right back on the shelf. Might need that good something. We don't know for sure what it was. And for him, temptation, his strongest temptation was probably money, he said. Trying to have enough to make sure you could survive, to feed your family, to take care of everyone. So we understand that. What are our temptations? What are they? How can we be about watching that they do not become impediments in our relationship with our Lord? One of the temptations that is not often lifted is vengeance or revenge. We have a struggle with that in our society. If we are injured, we certainly will demand justice. But all too often what is being said is revenge or vengeance. And we need to be aware of that. There's an old saying that when you come out seeking revenge, you need to dig two graves, one for that other and one for yourself. And indeed, we are dying inside ourselves when we are caught up in that. There's another temptation that I'm beginning to face as I don't know if all of you knew I was retired. I've been playing that joke for 2 or 3 years now, haven't I? Well, just we'll work that as long as it'll work. But one of the temptations for me might be complacency. I think I have finances in order. I think things are going along nicely. But sometimes complacency is a huge temptation. You should see my house. I need to do housework, is what I'm saying. And it's easy enough to not do that and just be complacent. So temptations. So here are temptations, and they sit before us. And now we come to a jump that I hope I'll tie in, and that is that we need to acknowledge that this is Human Relations Sunday. And one of the things we do on this Sunday is acknowledge the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. We acknowledge that. I hope that you have experienced some of the things about him over the week. They usually do some different documentaries, different things, talk about different contributions. It's important to note several things about him. He had his doctorate in Scripture, studied in Scripture. He was deeply embedded in Scripture. It intrigued me to realize that he was only 26 when all of his activities began. When I was 26, I didn't still have a brain. I had kiddos and I still had no brain. Of course, they may have been part of the reason I had no brain, but that's another story. He is the Reverend, senior pastor of the Dexter Avenue Baptist Church. And he was working toward justice. That was his focus. I want to read you a little piece he wrote here. He said, "Before I was a civil rights leader, I was a preacher of the gospel. This was my first calling, and it still remains my greatest commitment. You know, actually, all that I do in civil rights, I do because I consider it a part of my ministry. I have no other ambition in life but to achieve excellence in the Christian ministry." A lot of people attribute a lot of things to King. He wasn't perfect. He was not evil. He wasn't any other things that are completely encompassing of who he was. He was as complex as all of us are. But he was a student of the Bible. And he, like us, tried to be faithful. And one of the things that had to be faithful that he knew was justice. The Bible clearly states if we are not about justice, we are not one with God. Old Testament, New Testament, there is no distinction that justice is the godly way. Dr. King knew the Bible, as I said, and he would have known that Old Testament dictate the laws say an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a stripe for a stripe. And he understood that and he knew that and he understood it for what it was, a limitation on what you could demand for someone. There was a time when it was so barbarian that the very basics of how to be in the world were called into question, and to limit the retribution you could demand was a huge step. And he knew that Christ stepped further as we grew as a humanity and said, "I tell you, not an eye for an eye, but turn the other cheek." And he lived that and taught us that. So all of King's work about justice, all of his different ways of being in the world were nonviolent. It was a difficult stretch to be, and he didn't really pioneer the way that worked. A little Indian fellow by the name of Mohandas Gandhi had begun that work, satyagraha, nonviolent justice, finding ways to change, not through force, but through the heart. So, Human Relations Sunday, we acknowledge Dr. King, but we acknowledge an awful lot of other people. If you ask kiddos today, they will all know who Rosa Parks is. Our history, our school system has helped lift up some of those who have done incredible things. Rosa Parks was one of those. Marian Anderson, how many of you have heard of Marian Anderson? She was an opera singer, denied the accessibility to sing, and who yet then sang to the nation, and who changed hearts lovingly, caringly, with a voice from God. Justice, Dr. King, Rosa Parks, Marian Anderson, Nelson Mandela. In Africa, there was an inequality, a huge injustice, a small minority of whites ruling a country of blacks, and doing so, claiming biblical right to do so. There were protests, there were battles, there was bloodshed trying to resist this injustice. No progress was made. But then something else happened, and I don't know that we've ever really paused to acknowledge, but groups around the world, like the United Methodist Church, us, decided that we would remove any financial support of any companies that did business with that corrupt government. We took an ethical stance. Force didn't matter, protests didn't matter, revolts didn't matter. But when we came down and said, we as the world decry this inequality, and we will financially remove your ability to remain in control, change happened. Apartheid ended. Nelson Mandela still a part of that, but a lot of people embedded and central in how we were working to find justice, not through force, not through violence, but person to person, heart to heart, systematically. So we turn to this day of human relations, of thinking about where we are, and in the world around us, there are so many things going on. We think of the wars that are going on, the conflicts that are going on. We think about all of those different places and wonder, how can we be the Christians we're called to be in the midst of those conflicts, in the midst of those trials and tribulations? May the Lord grant us understanding and direction. Through it all, let's remember that revenge is a temptation that draws us away from Christ. Vengeance is a temptation that draws us away from Christ. How shall we be a people in a world where conflict seems to be the norm? How shall we be a people bringing about change? Think a moment about Jesus' ministry of a year, 3 years. People at the time may have said, he was crucified, he failed. His change is still ongoing. His change has changed the world and will continue to change the world. Amen? Amen.